Good afternoon. I call the meeting of the Senate Community Regional Affairs to order. Today is Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. For the record, it is 3:37 p.m. on March 20th, 2018. We're in the Belts Committee Room of the Tom Stewart Building. We do have a quorum to do business. Senator Gardner, welcome. Senator McKinnon. Senator Stedman.
Stedman.
You're back. Thank you. And Senator Hoffman,
Mr.
welcome.
Chairman.
And myself, Senator Bishop. So we have a full complement. And I'd like to recognize Ann Krekelberg today on Senate Records. Eileen Keim, is that right? Did I say that right, ma'am? All right. On our teleconference network, John Manley from my office. We know the cell phone drill. We have one bill before us today, 215, by the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator Coghill is away on other state business, but Jordan Schilling is here to roll the bill out. We'll let him do that, and we're not moving this bill anywhere today. We're just going to get a good overview. We do have people online from Fairbanks to testify to this bill task, and so with that being said, Mr. Schilling.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. And the senator is tied up in the Senate State Affairs Committee, so he's allowed me to present the bill to you today. And Senate Bill 215, I should point out, is actually a Senate Judiciary bill, not a individual bill. But this is a bill that relates to what are called multi-line telephone systems. These are the types of phone systems that you will find in a large building like a hotel, you know, university campus. Even here in this Capitol, we use a multi-line telephone system. And what this bill does, if a municipality chooses to adopt an ordinance that's provided for in the bill, ensures that when a person in need calls 911, that their exact physical location information travels along with them to the dispatch office, so that first responders aren't delayed when trying to find an individual in need. And in Alaska, there's a large number of end users using MLTS systems, multi-line telephone systems, that do not have the same level of enhanced 911 precautions that small businesses and residential phone systems have, which aren't multi-line phone systems. And so tragedies can occur when emergency callers are unable to provide the specific location within a large building or complex, either because they're unaware of where their exact location is, or they are unable to convey their physical location, for whatever reason that may be. And so one of the striking examples, and you'll see it in your packet, is a photo showing this unique problem at the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. And what it shows is the university apparently uses a multi-line telephone system that does not have these E911 capabilities, enhanced 911 capabilities. So if a call were to be made up on, as you know, Mr. Chairman, Westridge, which is way up on the hill on the other side of campus, say from the third floor of room 307, it would appear to the dispatch office that the call is actually being made and the person that's in need is actually about a mile away at kind of the central phone system location. And so, Mr. Chairman, this is an example of a situation that this bill would hope to ameliorate if, of course, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the municipality in this case, were to adopt an ordinance requiring these systems have these E911 capabilities. So, kind of to summarize the bill, SB 215 gives municipalities the option by ordinance to require future MLTS operators. This, of course, has a grandfather clause that says that only systems that have been created or upgraded following January 1st, 2019, only those future MLTS systems would be required to provide an automatic location information record, the acronym for that is ALI, for every telephone that's capable of dialing 911. The phone system must also allow callers to call 911 without dialing a prefix ahead of time. So there's some phone systems that require you to dial 9 to, you know, quote unquote, get out of the building. There are existing MLTS phone systems that still require someone to enter a prefix before dialing 911. And so this bill would again allow the exact physical location information to travel with the call, but it would also require the phone system not have that prefix issue that I just mentioned. And then I should point out that there may be municipalities that don't choose to adopt these ordinances, or there may be municipalities that do choose to adopt an ordinance, but maybe it has some exceptions built into the ordinance. That there's a signage provision in the bill that requires that any multi-line telephone system that does not have these E911 capabilities be required to have signage near the phone indicating the limitations of that particular phone system. So those are the high points, Mr. Chairman. I'm obviously happy to go through the sectional, which is short. I'm also just happy to go through the bill itself, which is just a little bit longer than the sectional. And I believe that Jill Dolan, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Attorney, is on the line, and also David Gibbs, who is probably my lifeline for any technical questions on how phones work.
Let's go through the sectional first, and then we'll ask the committee members if you want to go through the bill itself, and then we'll, when we get done with questions with you, we do have Mr. Gibbs for online that wants to testify and for questions, and the borough attorney as well. So I have a few questions, but let's kick off and give us a sectional.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. The bill has two sections. The first section of the bill requires a multi-line telephone system that is installed or upgraded after January 1st, 2019, must comply with all of the things that I'm about to talk about in Section 2. And then also what Section 1 does is it repeals our existing E911 statutes, which currently have no effect. I can go further into that if you'd like, and I might lean on Jill Dolan a little bit on that. But in 2005, Representative Mike Hawker sponsored and successfully passed into law the very concept that we're trying to accomplish with this bill. There was a slight hiccup, though, with the statute. The statute required RCA to do something that the Department of Law ultimately said they don't have the authority to do. So we're really just trying to replicate the 2005 effort without the RCA hiccup. So just to rehash, Section 1 requires any phone system after January 1st, 2019 to have this new enhanced 911 phones, and again repeals the ineffective existing MLTS statutes.
But only if a municipality chooses to do that.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. This concept hinges on a municipality to pass an ordinance that's tailored to their community's specific needs.
Okay. Thank
you. Section 2 says an operator of a multi-line telephone system that is required by ordinance to comply with these sections shall ensure that the system not only allows a caller calling 911 to not use that prefix to, again, get out of the building, but also requires that the system automatically provide the dispatch agency with the exact physical location of the call. And an MLTS operator must comply with these requirements soon after an installation or an upgrade. An operator of an MLTS that is not required to comply by ordinance and then does not allow for direct 911 dialing or this automatic location information that I referred to shall post signage notifying the public of the limitations of their phone system. And then finally, there are definitions for multi-line telephone system and multi-line telephone system operator.
Do we have any questions at this time for Senator Hoffman?
Why would a municipality not want to opt in? Is there a cost that is detrimental, or it seems to me if it's a much safer system and the bill is being brought forward that municipalities are all going to be opting in, and if they are all opting in, why do we have the option? I'm just wondering what would be the deterrent for a municipality not to opt in.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I can't envision all of the reasons why they may not want to, but there is a cost associated, but the cost can range anywhere from $0 to much higher. And in fact, there's a document that accompanied the bill in the packet that goes into what the cost might be, and I know that David Gibbs on the phone could possibly elaborate on what the cost is of doing upgrades or including these new types of phones in future builds. Other than the cost, I'm having a difficult time thinking of why a municipality wouldn't, but I can look into that further.
So if it was required, what would the fiscal note be to this legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, even if a municipality chooses to adopt an ordinance.
No, if the word were shall, what right. would the fiscal note be?
So right now the bill, through the chair, Senator Hoffman, right now the bill has a zero fiscal note even if a municipality were to do this, and so I would imagine the fiscal note would remain a zero if we made it a shall. Ultimately, the cost is borne by the MLTS operator, is my understanding.
Thank you.
Follow up, Senator Hoffman?
Well, it seems like this has been an issue nationwide, and it seems like we have an opportunity to try to fix it, but it seems as though we're leaving it up to local municipalities to do all the research and figure out what's best for them, that many local municipalities may not have that expertise.
Thank you. And we'll let Senator Gardner has a question, and I think I'll ask, is the okay with the committee, Mr. Gibbs from the EMS from the North Star Borough to
Thank you.
Let him go.
Thank you. So to that point, you know, for facilities that have IT staff who can program the existing phones and make them do what this bill allows municipalities to require, there may not be a cost, but some places might have a cost, might have to hire somebody to come in. So if the municipality passes the ordinance, it's they're imposing a cost on private companies that might have some. It's not a huge, it's not like they have to replace their phone systems. It's for new systems that would be compliant, but they still have to be programmed. If there is, to the extent that there is a cost, if the state requires it, then it's an unfunded state mandate, right? If the municipality requires it of their voters, there might be some pushback. So, you know, but I don't think that there's expected to be a huge cost in any case.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, yeah, just one point. I think that's to the extent that there is a cost, I think you're right that the cost is borne by the MLTS operator, the private entity, as you mentioned. But it is also my understanding that phones these days, in the year 2018, new MLTS phone systems have this feature built in, native to the software. And in fact, one thing I should probably mention is that provision that requires no prefix before dialing 911. That's actually mirrors federal legislation that President Trump just signed that actually requires that any new MLTS phone manufactured and sold after the year 2020 must not have that prefix problem in it. So to the extent that this does cost money, it would be borne by the MLTS operator.
Senator McKinney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In reference to Senator Hoffman's question, I wonder what the status of the state systems are. We have multiple facilities across the state, as well as in the Fairbanks area, the university system or others. And I'll just look back. When I ran a nonprofit, I believe we replaced the phone system there, and it was upwards for a small business of $10,000 to $15,000. That's what I'm remembering of a whole new build out for a new system. So I agree with Senator Hoffman in the sense that there's an opportunity to consider use across the state of Alaska, but I think there is a cost to small business as well as ourselves.
Senator Gardner, it's human life.
Thank you.
Senator Gardner?
Thank you. I was assured today that our existing system in this building, at least, can be compliant. It's just a matter of plugging it in almost the same way you'd forward calls or change your voicemail or something.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, much to our security staff's chagrin, I did actually test to see if our system here does send along the exact physical location, and I dialed 911 from our office, and in fact it does.
Thank you. And if I might, Mr. Chair, if my understanding of the bill is that it doesn't require that anybody upgrade. It's just that if they do upgrade, the system has to be compliant.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I pulled out state statute because we're eliminating quite a bit of language or reorganizing it, and I'm wondering if Mr. Schilling can tell me the specific differences in what is new to the judiciary bill that is actually more effective. That you said you were eliminating the RCA provision, and I've pulled it up and see how we're referencing some things, but what is difference in the compliance mechanism of this bill versus the last bill that we think it'll be successful?
Sure.
Yes,
through the chair. Thank you, Senator McKinnon. We're getting close to the edge of my policy area expertise on this, and so I might have to lean on Ms. Dolan if I could, but my understanding is, and in fact just looking at the language that we're deleting here, a lot of the elements in this language you'll actually find in the law that we're proposing with this bill. For example, the definition of multi-line telephone system syncs up pretty well with the definition we're using. I think the existing statute, the reason that it's ineffective is because it leaves a lot of the specifics to the RCA to promulgate in regulation. And not only that, it also requires the RCA to get involved in some dispute resolution. With respect to the requirement that that these phone systems comply with, quote, generally accepted industry standards. And so I think what we've done, because the RCA did not have the authority, according to the Department of Law, to promulgate those regs and to be involved in the dispute resolution process, what we've tried to do is take what would otherwise be accomplished in regulation and specified in statute itself and take RCA out of the equation, which was problematic and has made these statutes not effective for the last 13 years. So I hope that answers the question. Again, Ms. Dolan is on the line.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, what I've been trying to find in the reference for the multi-phone line system is the reference to RCA that Mr. Schilling is referencing. Yep. Do we have a...
I do, Madam Chair.
A statute.
I do, through the chair, Senator McKinnon. It is in the bill. It's page 2, line 3, 4, and 5. In other words, 29, 35, 134.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thank you, Mr.
Yep.
Chairman.
Yep.
Senator Gardner, do you have a question on this?
I'm through. Thank you.
All right. I have some questions, but I want to let the free-flowing conversation go with my committee members and first, and then I'll come back to mine and clean up, okay? Why don't we go to Mr. Gibbs in Fairbanks? Mr. Gibbs, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Could you put your name and affiliation on the record and go ahead and comment on the bill?
Great. Good afternoon, Senator Bishop and members of the Senate Committee and Regional Affairs Committee. My name is David Gibbs, and I am the Emergency Operations Director for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. As part of my duties, I serve as the 911 Administrator for the borough. I want to go on record as saying the Fairbanks North Star Borough supports Senate Bill 215, and our borough assembly, in fact, has identified requiring enhanced 911 information from multi-line telephone systems is one of our legislative priorities. I also would like to thank Senator Coghill and his staff for sponsoring this important piece of public safety legislation. And actually, the staff has prepared an excellent frequently asked questions document, which I believe is in the packet that accompanies this bill. I just want to say multi-line, a lot of what Mr. Schilling has covered, I will not cover. Part of my intended comments, but I'll skip over that in the interest of time. But multi-line telephone systems are used in large buildings, complexes, or even campuses, which may have multiple facilities that share a common telephone switch. In my community, which is, as you know, Fairbanks, the University of Alaska campus, We have hotels, both borough and city governments, big box stores, schools are all examples of users of MLTS, and they're both owners and operators. I did want to touch a little bit on the difference between wireline, just regular wireline enhanced 911, and multi-line telephone systems enhanced 911. With a, like a handset on your desk that's a regular, at your residential property, a regular wireline telephone number, currently local exchange carriers are required to provide and maintain customer information, which includes the telephone number and the address where the telephone is located. And they're required to provide that to the 911 authority for the purposes of assisting in emergency response. The local exchange carriers automatically process daily changes. It could be an address change, a customer change, adds if they add a new customer, or deletes if a customer leaves or no longer receives service from them. Service orders that we receive are processed daily through our automatic location information system and updated daily. And we have a very automated process for doing that. Currently, multi-line telephone system operators have no requirement to provide location information or even keep it current within our 911 system. So really what this bill does is extend the enhanced 911 requirements to multi-line telephone system. The problem with facilities using multi-line telephone systems is that presently when a 911 call is placed from one of these facilities, the address that is presented to the 911 telecommunicator is the location of the multi-line telephone switch and not necessarily where the device from which the call was initiated is located. So I think you've got a graphic that we prepared as an example. So, for example, in our 911 automatic location information database, University of Alaska Fairbanks, as only as an example, literally has hundreds or thousands of telephone numbers and the associated addresses that resolve to the multi-line switch location at 1054 University Avenue. And that's, in fact, the example that you have. Also, as a matter of interest, telephones located at Poker Flats, the Rocket Range, about 30 miles away, also resolved to this same address, 1054 University Avenue. So there's a huge discrepancy in terms of where the actual location of the caller is. So we are certainly aware of multiple examples of emergency responders being delayed because they were either dispatched to the wrong building, required to search a whole floor or building complex, in an attempt to locate a caller that was requesting emergency services. Also, often callers are unaware of the exact location within a large building. They might be a customer of a large business or unable to speak or unable to provide the telecommunicator with proper location information. This, too, can seriously delay emergency responders as they attempt to locate that caller and try to work with that caller to ascertain their exact location. So one of the benefits of this bill, above and beyond what Mr. Schilling has already described, is that it requires MLTS operators, multi-line telephone system operators, to have call location transmitted directly to the 911 center and not to a security desk, which may be attended by an individual that's either ill-trained or ill-equipped to handle the call. So Mr. Schilling has pretty much covered all the other things that I wanted to talk about. I did want to talk very quickly about the opt-in, opt-out. The very simple reason that all municipalities may not opt in to develop an ordinance to require MLTS 911 is that not all communities are currently providing enhanced 911 services, so they may not have the facility there to receive the information that might be delivered. With that, I'll conclude my comments, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you this afternoon, and I certainly urge you to support this bill. That'll take any questions.
Mr. Gibbs, if you could go back and restate, and for me, just slow down just a little bit. I don't process as fast as the rest of my committee members, and I'm a little hard of hearing. So if you could just slow down a little bit and restate what your closing there on the, your example, I think, in maybe out in rural Alaska.
So just for clarification, so you would like the response about the opt-in versus opt-out?
The last 2 minutes, I think you were speaking to Senator Hoffman's question from earlier.
Correct. So one of the reasons that not all communities may choose to opt in and elect to pass an ordinance requiring that multi-line telephone system operators provide enhanced 911 information. Is that not all communities currently provide enhanced 911 services? So they may not actually have the equipment available to receive the information and process it and provide it to a 911 call taker.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Gibbs from committee members? Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gibbs, it's been stated to the committee that one obstacle in the way of implementing the multi-line system as it was currently laid out in state statute is this notion that the RCA from the Department of Law is somehow a controlling entity. Can you speak to that at all? Because when I read that, specifically under 2935.134, a multi-line telephone system operator is to be compliant with this section when using multi-line phone system with enhanced 911, generally accepted industry standards as defined by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. It doesn't say that they're monitoring it. It says that whatever is adopted just needs to comply. And so I'm wondering what's going on there, and if we've adopted regulations then that are somehow making RCA in charge of this portion of Alaska state statute.
Yes, Senator McKinnon, if I may, I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Dolan for response.
Ms. Dolan, if you could put yourself on the record and identify yourself and then answer Senator McKinnon's question.
Yes, thank you, Chair Bishop. This is Jill Dolan. I'm the borough attorney for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, so in 2005, after this piece of legislation on multi-line telephone systems was enacted, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska did open a docket. The intention was for them to adopt regulations in order to implement this section. Sometime after that, the Department of Law issued an opinion saying that they didn't have authority to do that. I think that's really twofold. One is that the enhanced 911 system is operated in our state at the local level, so we essentially have an E911 service area. The Regulatory Commission typically regulates the service providers and has standards for the service providers and enforcement authority over them as certificated entities. So we don't have a copy of that opinion from the Department of Law, although I suspect that was the reason, was that because the multi-line telephone system operator is not necessarily synonymous with a service provider that the RCA would ordinarily regulate. So the way this legislation is drafted to help cure that problem is these will really be statutorily driven standards. So they're a uniform set of standards, but a municipality has to opt in by adopting the ordinance in order to enact them, and then it would be up to the municipality to enforce them. So that wouldn't be through the RCA. That would be either we would have some type of a requirement in code, such as a citation process or other type of minor offense type process, or we could go seek assistance from the superior courts. State Superior Court and getting some type of an injunction if there was not compliance.
Senator McKinnon, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the reason I'm asking the questions is there's a zero fiscal note on regulation because RCA didn't adopt and because Department of Law issued their opinion. And currently in Alaska, local law and local regulations are covering enhanced 911 services, except that now we're being asked as a state to actually take local guidance on E911 or federal guidance, place it into law, and then have no regulation. Am I hearing that correctly? So each city who passes a law in support of enhanced 911 and this compliance for multi-line services may have inconsistent regulations across jurisdictions.
If I may, Chair Bishop, answer Senator McKinnon's question. This is Jill Dolan again for the record. I think the intention was that we would have consistent regulations through the state, which is why there are these statutorily driven standards here. The flexibility that that is there is whether or not a municipality participates in those standards. So just to clarify, we only have the authority to do an enhanced 911 system at the local level because that is the structure that our state has set up. So as local governments, through Title 29 of the Alaska statutes, we have the authority to create E911 service areas and to require service providers to comply with our standards. So some states do it differently. They have state 911 systems. We don't do that here in Alaska. So there will be some level of consistency because the standards will be in law. But there is zero fiscal impact to the state because they aren't the ones that are going to be charged with actually operating the enhanced 911 system or enforcing the standards that will be adopted at the local level.
Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, I'll leave it at that. Local communities will adopt some kind of standards that are inconsistent with each other, and businesses may or may not, in working with their local communities in the development of those regulations, certainly comply with Alaska state statute, but if there's, we can leave it to the local communities, but there might be some inconsistencies that develop over time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Dolan, stay on the line, both of you and Mr. Gibbs.
She may have other things.
Did you want to follow up to Senator McKinnon's question before I go to mine? Do you have any other comments? Okay. Jordan, could you, let's go to page 4, section D. Unless I've read that paragraph, so give me an example of where that would apply. Let's say, and
sure. Mr. Chairman, for the record again, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. So page 4, subsection D, that's on line 4, requires that an operator of a multi-line telephone system that is not required by ordinance to comply with all of these requirements shall, at a minimum, have some signage that indicates the limitations of, you know, of that particular phone with respect to dialing 911. And so the signage in the bill is fairly specific, and this is an example of something that would maybe otherwise be promulgated in regulation, but we're taking what would normally go there and put it in statute mm-hmm. to provide for consistency statewide. And it says that the notice shall state that 911 services cannot be accessed by dialing 911 directly. In other words, that's the prefix issue I described earlier. It would indicate how a caller may access 911 services through the telephone. The sign must be printed in contrasting colors in a bold font not smaller than 16 points.
Okay, so let's stop right there.
Sure.
Ms. Dolan, are you on?
Yep.
So are you following us through the bill on this section?
Yes, Chair Bishop, I am.
Thank you. So, is this bill, is this section of law ADA compliant? And what I mean by that is it's, is it in Braille as well on the signage?
Is that to me, Mr. Chair?
I apologize. I haven't actually looked at that issue. This is similar legislation that's been enacted in other jurisdictions. That certainly a good consideration. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Schilling, do you have a comment, or am I off base on this?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know a whole lot about ADA requirements, so I'd be happy to work with Jill and get back to you on whether this violates something like that.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, just on the issue of ADA compliance and posting by every sign, Do we have a size specification in here?
16 points.
Well, I've got the font sign, but how big is the sign going to be next to each phone? I'm wondering about the cost, and then in Braille, if it's paper, the raised marks, if it's paper, are going to actually depress over time if they're actually used, and then what kind of cost are we creating for the business owner to comply?
I'm just asking a question. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I don't see a statutory specification on the size of the sign. It seems to leave that discretion to the operator of the MLTS. But you're right, it is very prescriptive in other ways.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments, committee members? Seeing none, thanks to everybody from Fairbanks. Wish I was home. Ms. Kathy Wasserman in the room from AML, and she would like to testify. So if you come up, ma'am, put yourself on the record and say your piece.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathy Wasserman, Alaska Municipal League. The Alaska Municipal League is in favor of this bill, Senate Bill 215. We think this is a really good tool that municipalities should be able to take advantage of if they have the technology to do so. To give a little bit of a more complete answer to Senator Hoffman, we still have probably almost half of our municipalities within the state that don't have regular 911, much less E911. And maybe we sort of backed into this. When I first looked at this bill, at the very beginning, it was an opt-out. And so I looked at it thinking, why would Anaktuvuk Pass have to go to all the trouble, money, time, and effort to opt out of something that wasn't even in their technology toolbox? So then it became an opt-in, which looked a lot smarter to me. So I guess I didn't think of it as a statewide thing, but certainly we're, of course, always for local control, which I know you find hard to believe. But this, to me, right now, as the bill sits, gives a great opportunity for municipalities that can afford and have the technology to be able to take advantage of it. And right now, I think most of the communities that couldn't do the research don't have 911, or at least E911 anyway. So I think we're okay there. At this point, the cost and so forth will be covered by the provider, or by the businesses and or the municipality. And so I see this as hopefully a no-brainer.
Thank you, Ms. Wasserman. Seeing no other questions from the committee members today, we're going to close public testimony, and we're going to adjourn here in just a second. Having no further business, we're going to show that we adjourned at 4:12 p.m. Our next meeting is Thursday.